Welcome to the Irish Photography Podcast. Take control of your camera and develop the skills necessary to improve and master your photography. Join me, Dermot O'Donovan, John Myler and Darren J. Spoonley as they cut through the sometimes confusing jargon of photography to help you find your own style and decide what's best for you. A mix of educational, inspirational, honest and sometimes controversial content delivered in a unique, fun way from three of Ireland's talented photographers. Let's go.
And welcome along to the Irish Photography Podcast again this week, guys. Today we are missing one of our comrades. He's gone away on a special trip to the United States of America. So I'm stuck here with John Myler. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Dad. How are you?
I'm actually in a bit of a mess because of you.
Great.
You posted a lovely dog video and nearly bawled my eyes out.
Oh, yeah. Facebook. Oh, yeah. It was. That was a bit of a tearjerker, all right.
Oh, my God. I'm a mess at the moment.
Yeah, it was a good one.
We'll move swiftly on.
Come here. You were saying our colleague Darren is away at the moment, and he is. He's on an autumnal expedition to the U.S.,
That's very fancy.
Yeah, so for, as Darren would say, he's on his holliers, basically. But we like to say he's on his autumnal expedition to the US. Or is it his fall? The falls, is it?
Oh, no, it's a fall.
Sorry, the fall. Yeah. Sorry, Darren. So, yeah, Darren, we miss you. Can't wait to have you back.
Do we?
Ah, we do. We do, yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, yeah. We miss our daddy.
You say that with much conviction.
We miss our daddy.
All right. So
what have we got going today, Dad?
Not much, no. I'll do what you want, actually. It's funny. Just a quick word now before we dive into our topics. I got my filter holder today for my Sigma 12 to 24 lens. And I have to say, I'm kind of disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When I was buying the filter holder, it said that there'd be no vignetting until you get to 13 mil. So 12 and 13 mil would have slight vignetting. And I was okay with that. I'm fine with that. But I have vignetting the whole way to 16 mil with the filter holder.
That's not good.
Yeah. So it's not good. It's Haida filter holder.
Yeah.
Haida, is it Haida?
Haida, I don't know.
So I was a bit disappointed, but look, I now at least have a filter holder for it. I just don't know how much I'll use it now because of that, because I like to shoot as wide as possible, you know.
Was it expensive?
I think it was 120 euros delivered to the door.
You see, you want what you're getting then, like, you know.
Sure, look, I'll get over it. It's not the end of the world. So, John, we're going to jump right into our topics now for today. And our first topic today is photography magazines. Do we need them or do we get rid of them?
That's a good topic, Dad. Very good topic, actually.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is interesting. And
so, what are your thoughts on magazines as a whole? Like, do you buy them? Do you gather hundreds of them in your bathroom and read them while you go to the toilet or something? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, right, you caught me on the hop here now. So just off the cuff, straight up, I bought magazines when I started out in my photography a long time ago.
Okay.
And I do. I have a shelf inside, and there must be close to, I'd say, probably 50 magazines on it, and they are gathering dust. They haven't been moved. But did I find them useful? I did. I found them useful at the start when I had no idea of how to step up my photography to the next level, basically. So I did buy these magazines to give me tips on what was aperture, what was shutter speed, or I'd see these cool long exposure images on social media and I'd say, how do I get them? I'd buy a magazine and it might give me a few tips on it. Now, if I'm completely honest, I actually bought two magazines in May this year, and that would be the first time I bought magazines in about 3 or 4 years' time. One of the main reasons I kind of got put off buying the magazines is because I found, you know, I bought the magazines to get information on how to do certain types of photography, but then every second page was an advertisement on it, right? And that kind of peed me off a little bit. Because if I was looking for a product, I'd actually prefer to go on YouTube or something like that just to see it or hear people talk about it. Or rather,
listen to this, John. Listen to this, right? I did a bit of homework, believe it or not, right?
Go on.
So I looked through one of my magazines now, and I'm not saying that every magazine is like this.
Yeah.
So I did percentages on how many pages I have advertisements in. It's a 148 page magazine, and 38 pages have advertisements on it. So that's 25% of the magazine has more or less a full page of advertisement.
Yeah.
And they're all UK advertisements.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say to you there as well. Like the, okay, I get it that the magazines need these people to pay for their whatever way it works for them. But for the punter, for the consumer like me buying the magazine, I got peed off buying them because of all the advertisements in them. Like I said earlier, I'd rather see it on YouTube. But I did find some of the information in them very, very useful. Absolutely fantastic. But not now. Not saying I don't know it all, but I don't know it. And also some of the magazines I bought, there was a lot of in-depth stuff on Photoshop and stuff as well. Pages eaten up and how to edit a photograph in Photoshop. I don't use Photoshop and so on. So there was another reason I kind of stopped buying them. One thing that's at the popping into my head there, is there an Irish photography magazine? Even an online-based one?
I know Graham Daly works. I don't think he works for a magazine. I think voluntarily. DX or something. Or
is that Irish?
An
online
magazine, I think it is.
Oh, okay. Be interesting to find out, actually.
Wouldn't be something that I'd concentrate on reading, to be honest with you. My gripe with the magazine is the fact that, okay, they're okay. There's a lot of information in when you're looking for a certain type of thing. But one thing that they actually lack nearly all the time is there is absolutely no wedding photography inside any magazine that I've picked up ever, that I've ever bought.
And is there any specific magazine out there for weddings?
I don't think so.
Let's Google it.
I wouldn't be one to go search high and low for a wedding photography magazine, but if there was one on the shelf inside Easton's, I'd pick it up and I'd buy it. And that's where I used to buy my photography magazine. So you'd have your typical ones like Practical Photography, your Digital Camera Magazine, you know, those type of ones. But like, and all it is regurgitated content. Do you know? So if you bought magazines for 12 months straight,
they're going to repeat.
Just put them on repeat.
Yeah, in some form or another, they will repeat. And that's, I can't try and think of the magazine that I bought inside. You think I'd know because I have 50 of them. I think it was Photo Plus. UK based. And I would recommend that for anybody starting out, to be honest.
What's that called?
I think it was Photo Plus. I'd have to check. Check and put it up on our Facebook page with a picture of the cover. But that was a good one because it was very simple. It was very basic to understand. But when I say I kind of stopped buying them, I did stop buying them because I was getting annoyed with all the junk that was in them, basically, that I would call it. But I did then buy the ones in May because there's a couple of magazines out there that have some classic photographs in them. And there is the Landscape magazine. And it's just like that. I know we're talking about advertisements, but a lot of it was landscape images were fantastic. And one, the black and white one as well. So yeah, there's pros and cons to them. But for me, to answer your question at the start, do I buy them anymore? Once a year, I would say, being honest.
Once a year. And the last time I bought one was March in 2017. And the only reason I bought it in March 2017 is because one of my own pictures was featured in that magazine. The Cliffs of Moher shot that we talked about in the last part.
Yes.
My favorite shot. That was featured in Digital Camera Magazine. So that would have been the last time I kind of bought that magazine, you know? Or any magazine for that matter. I would have bought a few at the start, you know, when I was learning my trade and trying to make myself better, challenge myself. And now it does have some good tips for beginner photographers, but once you start getting into that advanced hobbyist kind of role, I think it kind of falls away.
It falls off
the cliff more or less. Because like I said, it's just regurgitated content. And I don't think that is, I don't think it's healthy for you to be reading all that again. I just find it time consuming, whereas you could watch something else on YouTube and get far more greater content out of that, and at least then you have a visual side of things also, and it feels like you're talking to a friend more than anything else on YouTube. Do you get where I'm coming from?
Oh yeah, 100%. And can I ask you a question there, Dodd? Well, think of it. Would you buy a product that you saw in a magazine? You'd rather see it hands on or Why not? What's the reason behind it?
The reason why I wouldn't is because I don't buy them anymore. That's the sole reason why. But I don't know. I'm just put off by looking for things, buying from magazines, where I would buy most of my gear is like you and I are heavily involved in this industry. So we hear about products before they're even launched. So we, you know, we know more before, yes, we hear about them before you hear going to hear them in a magazine. So like the Tamron 2875, the 2.8, I think it's 2.8.
Yeah.
Cracking little camera. The first time I heard about it was on Jared Polin. He was talking about it. The guy, some people love him, some people hate him. I have a threshold for him. You know, you can yeah, listen to him for a while, but then sometimes you just want to shoot him, you know. and he has some very, very good valid points and some idiotic points also. But I remember the first time he talked about that lens, and then I was like, okay, that looks like a very, very decent lens. And then O'Leary's in Camera World then posted it on their Instagram page. And then when they posted it, I was like, okay, I think I need to look at this lens a bit more now.
Yeah.
And I did looked at it and I started going, okay, I'd love that lens. I'd like to have it in my arsenal, but it's not for me at the moment, because the lenses I have do what I need it to do, and it's just, it would be a surplus to my arsenal. So I just didn't buy it, you know. And it's funny because Mr. Gas here,
yeah,
in front of you, has refused to buy something. I'm not, it's weird. Yeah, I don't buy everything, people. But look, the Practical Photography magazine themselves, right, John, that one you can buy in the shelves. To be fair, they actually have a YouTube channel also.
Oh, okay, so I didn't know that.
I'll give them kind of a bit of props. But there is a caveat, John, okay? The caveat is that the last video they posted was 10 months ago. So okay, they're not...
not as consistent.
They haven't stuck to the ball game, do you know? Yeah. Like, they had a meeting... like this, it's a photography magazine, of course they have a board meeting or meetings, whatever, and they talk about plans, what can we do going forward, how do we future proof ourselves. And someone obviously came up with a great idea, let's create a YouTube channel and keep ourselves current on that side of the market, like we are doing ourselves, what we're trying to. It's just we're very busy at the moment, so we can't get to release as many videos as we'd wish.
Yes.
No, so they made a very good strong effort to do so, and they put out some great videos and some great content, but then they just stopped.
Yeah.
In saying that, don't get me wrong, the last meaningful post was 10 months ago. They have released other videos, but they're, what are they called? I have them in my notes here. They have posted 30-second issue trailers. So basically, it's a 30-second video on YouTube to show them what this month's magazine is going to be showing.
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, it's like a pre-advertising.
That's crap. Yeah. Sorry, no, that's just a lot of crap. Post a proper video for me, please. I have no interest in watching that muck. Call me harsh if you want, I don't care, but I'd just rather not see that on YouTube, you know.
To know, one thing I did find very good with the magazines when I was buying them, and this happened here in front of me, happened to appear in the last magazine I got, and I did use them, especially these when I was starting out, was the cheat cards, the tip cards. Did you ever see them?
Yeah, I used to get them with Digital Camera Magazine.
Yeah, they're great, and actually this one was from Digital Camera Magazine. There's what, 9 here. So big stopper skies, architectural abstracts, fruity colors, close up portraits, people in motion, patterns in landscape, macro magic, sunrise details.
Okay, John, for our listeners, tell us what close up portrait actually does. Read out what it says in the card from.
Okay, so on the close up portraits, for your first shot, try exposure mode, aperture priority, aperture f2.8. Shutter speed set automatically, and the ISO at 100. Okay, that's what they're kind of your tips for your first shot. Obviously, you'll have to move it then.
So they're kind of giving you base settings to work off.
And then you go to improve your shot. Use a fast lens like a 50mm prime, or even better, a macro lens. Fill the frame with the subject's features and focus manually on their eyes. Pay attention to the catch lights, reflections in the eyes. If needed, use a window or a reflector to enhance them. Top tip, always zoom in on screen to check that the eyes are pin sharp. Now that's a tiny little card that can fit in your wallet or your camera bag. That is handy.
They are very handy. I agree. For someone starting off, they're very good.
And yeah, like
John, I used them myself when I started out.
Oh, absolutely. Like if you're in a pickle, you can just pull it out. Like it's good. I like that. And that's one thing that I found great about the having the magazines. That was May. It's quite good.
Mm-hmm. But lastly on the cameras, right, before we move to a bit of a break, okay, Digital Camera World, that's another magazine, They will send you consistent emails, at least. You know, they're going to send you a mail nearly every 2 or 3 weeks, you know, about what they're doing or what's out. And it's funny that I actually say it, because I could have sworn, no, that's Digital Camera World. Yeah, that's it, sorry. Oh my God, look at that. Sorry, no, it just, the email that I just got off him is, the Canon ESR is hacked. Popular magic lantern has been successfully loaded. So basically, that popular kind of program, the magic lantern that people would use for video and all that. And please, I would actually refrain from doing it. Maybe I'm just a bit of a safe little guy. But like, you void your warranty the second you install a hacked version of anything on any camera. So basically, you can get zebras and all these other stuff. So I don't know what this magic lantern does, but I would stay far away from it.
Yeah, I agree.
Mad? They've made a hack for the camera already. It's only 2 weeks old.
Unreal.
You know, but they've other topics then. You know, here it says our top oil landscape photography tips. How many times have you heard that in a magazine? The complete guide to vlogging. Oh, Darren would love that. The Pix 2 rangefinder camera has no screen or memory card slot. How does that have a memory card slot? That's weird. Get a 2019 photo tips calendar, and so on and so on. I'm not going to keep on reading out the rest of them, but you get the idea. So it's nice to kind of get that email every few weeks, you know, to keep up to date with the news that's going on in the world. So I will give the thumbs up to the Digital Camera World for that. I like that. Have you any final thoughts on magazines, John?
No, that's all good. That's just my thoughts on it. The don't buy them anymore. Did buy them. When I did buy them, I loved them. Got peed off with them with the amount of advertising that was in them, and I'll buy them once a year. That's basically where I am at magazines now.
Yeah. So my final thought on magazines, waste of money. I wouldn't buy one. Like, but in saying that, a beginner, yes, I would encourage the beginner to buy a few magazines until you get to the advanced hobbyist stage. But why does it have all these advertisements in the magazine to beginners? Because beginners aren't going to spend too much money, you know. So
yes,
like all these advertisers are spending what, 500, 1,000 euros to the magazine every month just to advertise something.
Yeah,
I think.
Having said all that, you know, you walk into Easons or anywhere, and they're loaded there. You know, the photography section is there, so they are being bought. People are liking them, but just from my own personal opinion, I don't buy them anymore.
Yeah. Okay, John, we're going to leave that, park that one. And I never want to see a magazine again, so we won't even bother talking about this. But I think it's a good topic to talk about.
You know, it'll be interesting. Actually, we must ask Darren when he comes back for his opinion on it as well. You know?
I'd rather not know. he'll go off on one for about 3 hours, and I'd be like, oh man, you shouldn't have said anything to him.
Okay, that was good, Dad.
All right, so guys, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
And welcome back to the Irish Photography Podcast, guys. Now, just before we jump into our next topic, I posted a poll this morning, and we're recording on the, what date is today? We're recording on the 22nd of October. So I posted up a poll about, is Darren's stupid name of the what did he call it?
The film bag.
And he is dying on a hill on his own. Wait, no, a second, actually, because I think there's one other guy along with him. Oh, no, there's two now. So Tony, Sean Pepper, God, it's a shame that you've supported Darren's movement, and Tony Finnegan, the two of you should be ashamed of yourselves that you've actually said that it's not a stupid name. But my side is winning, John. We have 8 votes.
8-2, I think, is it?
8-2. I'm going to leave this up for a week, and whoever wins. Okay.
Are we going to ask for an alternative name?
We'll put from our listeners up in the poll if the yes wins. We'll leave
if the yes wins,
we'll leave the audience wins. Whoever comes up with the best name.
Perfect. That's what we do. Pick.
But we'll move, we'll move over to our next topic. So, John, and our next topic is Lightroom. Classic CC have just released a lovely update to their software. So what they've actually done now is they've gotten rid of the year now. It's not Lightroom CC 2018 or anything. It's just Lightroom 8 now, which is nice to kind of go back to a number. Happy days. So there's a few, it's not a massive update. Okay, it's kind of, there's a few little things here and there. So first of all, you're going to get your Canon tethering improvements. Before now, if you're tether shooting, which not a lot of people, very rarely actually in this country, it would happen. But studio shooters that have their own studio might shoot tethered, and you'd have your camera basically plugged into your laptop. And once the second you take a picture, it'll go straight to Lightroom via the cable, and then you can see your picture almost immediately up on the screen. Now, there's a few problems with the old method. I don't know what they were. I know I used to never shoot tethering, so it didn't bother me. I didn't care if they had an update. But apparently this new update is miles and streets ahead. So so good on them for that, you know, but it makes no difference to me in any way, shape, or form. Do you shoot tethered, John, no?
I have done it. I've done it three times, and I've done it when I was doing my photo boots. And it was actually great fun because as the people would walk away, they could see their image come straight up on the screen, and it worked quite well. But you're saying the speed, I never really noticed the speed because when I was using it, I never looked at it straight away. But now that you said it, I can see how the speed would, improving the speed would be brilliant, for, especially for those that shoot portrait, if they want to be looking at it immediately, like, you know.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I have used it. Don't use that often.
But I don't but even I just it. Think it's just the speed. I think whatever settings, problems that they used to have with stuff like that, I don't know.
They say reliability has been improved. They say they've improved the reliability on this belt, so maybe it was crashing. I don't know. Maybe it was dropping off for them. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, maybe. Another kind of big new thing that's on it is the depth range mask. Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay.
No.
So the depth range mask basically is, it's your iPhone. The depth range mask allows you to access the depth information in some HEIC format photos to help you quickly make a selection. To benefit, you'll need an iPhone with dual cameras, so the 7 Plus, the 8 Plus, the X, XS, and XS Max. So you need two cameras, two lenses on your camera. You'll find the depth mask controls in the local adjustments tool, along with the luminance range mask and the color range mask. Now, those two tools I would have used myself before, and they only came in recently in the last 12 months. But this new depth range mask is something that I wouldn't use because I shoot my iPhone for fun. And at that's a push. I use my phone more for screenshots than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, because like we've got the big guns, we've got the cameras that do the heavy lifting, like, you know. So it wouldn't be one that I would be able to use. So, but in saying that, now it is kind of a handy tool for some people. You know, you get the odd person that is into iPhoneography. So yeah, it might suit them, you know, and it is handy, you know. So it'd be like
I'd say so. I'd say that I know a few people that you know, they wouldn't call themselves photographers because they don't do it for a living or whatever, or for an extreme hobby, but they do use their iPhones a lot. And I say that'd be great. I say that'd be a great update for them.
It'd be interesting, all right. Do you know what? I'll give it a go. Don't get me wrong. I will try it. But I don't think I will really like it.
Yeah.
I wonder, actually,
I suppose it depends.
I haven't used it yet, used right? It. But even though, although I did say it's for what's that file name again? HEIC, that's it. HEIC files. It says it's just for them, so maybe I can't use a JPEG or a RAW format in it. Interesting. I'll do it and I'll let the listeners know just in case you can actually use it. So, move on to the next one. So, now they have a new process version, all right? Down in the bottom right-hand corner before, there used to be a process version. So, you've, since Lightroom started, you've 1, 2, 3, and 4. And now, so, basically, they have the new process version 5. So, the process version has been updated in order to improve the dehaze and the purple noise. So, the move to dehaze to the left could have some unexpected results in their earlier versions, like the strange yellow in some, if, like, you know, you get these weird kind of tints and yellows in the dehaze slider as we moved over to the left. Sort of kind of tackled them, you know. And the high ISO photos then could turn purple in the shadows in some circumstances. Yes. So astrophotographers are going to be slightly happy with this, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah.
And all these little improvements help everything, you know. Everything adds up.
Yeah, yeah.
Was there something about the HDR?
Oh, yes. I'm glad you asked that, John, because something big happened. This is the biggest thing for people. Now, especially, it's right up my street now because I wanted to start shooting more panoramics because I bought a brand new ball head just for shooting panoramics. So before, if you were to bracket your photographs, okay, so yeah, two stops between each exposure. So you're shooting two stops under, then you're shooting on your zero, and then two stops above to get a nice, good exposure blend. So if you're shooting a panoramic and you're shooting your HDRs, before you'd have to edit all your HDRs first, and then you'd have to stitch them all together in panoramic. So now what you can do is you can bracket all your shots, okay, on your panoramic. So that's 1, 2, 3. And then if you shoot six panoramic shots,
yeah,
three sixes are, wait, if we six, four. Six threes, six sixes. Oh, my maths are terrible, man. So three multiplied by.
I'm not helping you.
Six.
Go on.
Is 18 shots. Goodbye. 18 photographs. Jesus, it took me a while to get there. All right, 18 photographs. Okay, so that's 18 photographs. So all I have to do now is select all the pictures now, rather than just the three, edit, three, edit, three, edit, three, edit, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now you select every single one of them, right? And then you get on to photo merge, and then normally you'd have your HDR or just panorama, but now you have a HDR panorama, and it does the stitching and all the blending for you.
Wow. That's serious improvements.
Yeah, it's massive. I can't wait to use it. Now, it does take a little bit longer, but I'm okay with that.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Like, and I've used their panoramic panorama option in Lightroom a lot, and I find it excellent.
Now,
I know some people would say Photoshop is better. I don't know.
It is.
Is it?
It is better, but Lightroom has got much better.
Did you see that image that I printed on canvas? I think it was 47 by 24.
Yeah, that crap one. I'm joking.
See the way my dog barked just as you said that? That was stitched in Lightroom.
Okay.
And it was perfect.
No, it is a lovely perfect image, John. I'm only taking it.
I know you are. But as what I'm saying, that was stitched in Lightroom and it was absolutely perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in saying that, now,
it was a big image. Like
more often than not, your stitch, if you've done it right, it's all about pre-production when you're shooting a panoramic. Yes, if you haven't shot 100%. It right in the first place, it's going to struggle to do it. So if you have done it right, it's obviously going to work a lot easier.
Do you know what? On that note, I have to apologize here because my dog is having a fit outside. If she's coming through on the microphone, I do apologize. But otherwise, she'd be sitting up here in my lap. But on the panoramas, is it panorama or panoramic?
Panorama.
Panorama. We must do another podcast on that because there is so much, like you said, before you actually click the shutter to set up before you get that right. And I think a lot of people would have would be very, really interested in hearing that.
Yeah, it's all about leveling.
I know that's...
And we'll talk about that another day because...
We'll talk about that in another podcast.
It's a full podcast. It'd be great one to do.
We'll write that down. Yep.
Yeah, excellent. So that is exciting to have. And I'm just going to go back on what I said. Yeah, I just said it takes a little longer. It takes a little longer than just doing your panorama. So it speeds it up because you don't have to do in all the HDR. So you're saving a lot of time and a lot of work for yourself. So it's very cool. I love the idea of having that there, you know. So, but not only for the panoramas, there's new camera supports also. So the new cameras that are supported are the fabulous, unbelievable Canon ESR. So the new CR3 files are now enabled to edit raw pictures.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's the top camera there. There is also four other ones. So you have the Fujifilm, the X-T3, which are flying off the shelves. I seen them up in, I was up in Cannes there two, 3 weeks ago. Man, there were customers coming in the door. They're almost nearly fighting for the cameras. Like they're hands full of wallets or hands full of 50s just throwing them at them. So I'd say it's going to be a really, really good camera. It's something I'd like to play with. You know,
interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
And then they have
pop into Whelan's, have a look at it.
Yeah. And then they have the Nikon Coolpix P1000. I have no idea what type of camera that is. Never heard of it.
Nope.
The Nikon Z7, absolute fantastic camera. That would be fun to play with also. And cool. Then the Panasonic Lumix DC LX100 Mark II. So again, I've no idea what type of camera that is.
Yeah. But that's a great update for all those cameras. I mean, the amount of people that use those cameras and have been waiting for that.
Yeah.
Upgrade, you know, that's exciting for everybody, of all those for all those users.
Yeah.
Do you know the EOS R that you mentioned there, and yourself and Darren went up to the launch up in Cannes when we got invited up to do it?
It was actually in D-Light Studios.
D-Light Studios.
Cannes,
yeah.
So fair play to Cannes.
The couple of photographs that you edited from there.
Yeah.
Prior to the launch, what did you edited the JPEGs then, did you?
Yeah, I edited a few JPEGs. Now, I posted a picture during the week of the lizard, and that was a raw that I edited.
That was a raw?
That one was a raw. But the pictures previous to that were all JPEGs, so they're basically all straight out of camera, you know?
And guys, that was a great podcast.
Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed listening back to the podcast. I missed that when I was up the north.
I bet you were gutted.
I hadn't got time to be gutted. I was very, very busy with my coaching, but the... afterwards, yeah.
I knew you
haven't got my goodie bag though.
Because it was freaking awesome, man. I swear that you missed an awesome day. Like,
I'm still waiting for my goodie bag.
Yeah. I have it here for you, man.
Good man.
And there's actually another few lenses were updated also, John. So they have the new Canon 70-200 F4 IS Mark II USM, the Tamron 17-35 2.8, and the Canon RF 24-105 IS USM, and then Nikon F, a Parrot, not an actual Parrot, but you know that drone, Parrot Anaphi.
Yes.
Sony FE Venus Optics Laowa 15. I definitely butchered that name, Laowa 15 lens. So yeah, so happy days. So there's a lot in, like, there's not a lot. You know, it's a quirky kind of update that was needed. And I think the speed has gotten a bit better also. Do you know, if you have your presets over on the left-hand side, you know, if you hover over them, do you know, sometimes it kind of took a couple of seconds to load, depending on your computer. It is a bit faster now. And especially for me, if I'm calling a wedding, so if I'm picking my pictures from 1,500 photographs, it's a bit faster when I'm going through which ones I'm flagging to keep and which ones I'm rejecting to bin. Which is an added bonus for me, because with my previous one of my older Macs, like, you know, if I'm calling a wedding, like, you know, it maybe take 2 seconds to load, and 2 seconds is a lot of time for a picture to load.
Especially when you have a lot of images.
Yeah, you know, that adds up over time, you know. So now it's still a good capable machine. It's very good, like, but it's just, for me, I just wanted something faster. So yeah, what do you think of that?
You're a gas man. I think you're a gas man.
I'm a gas man.
Yeah, gas man.
So what do you think of
it's a cool update. Yeah, it's cool. And I'm looking forward to trying the panoramas. I do agree with you. I do think it has sped up a little bit as well. I think it's quite cool. And I'd say a lot of people are quite happy with it. Because there's been updates in the past that haven't been great. You know, and so this is good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
All positive today.
And for our listeners, I would recommend that you do update. Is as actually safe to update.
Yes.
There hasn't been. Normally, you get here of a bug here and there and everything, but this is one of the updates where everything seems to work right. There's been no complaints.
Do you know what? Yeah, like I've read articles about, as I was saying, some updates that people weren't happy with, and they reckon, you know, they're saying, "Oh, don't update it." I always update. Even if I read something negative, I will always update my Lightroom.
I can't, John,
regardless.
I can't. I can now, because I actually have 3 Macs now at this stage. Do you know what's funny? I'm down to 2 Macs now, because actually I bought a new camera. I didn't buy a new camera, but I did. I swapped my computer, one of my computers, for a Canon 6D.
Oh, you went back, did you?
I wanted an extra backup camera.
Very good.
Okay.
Good little camera as a backup camera.
It's a fantastic camera. So I have it just sitting there, you know, it's great. So one of my mates there is taking the Mac, so it suits him down to the ground. He gets a bigger 27-inch monitor, 24 gigs of RAM. You know, it suits him down to the ground.
Yeah.
So
very good.
And then, look, it was just sitting there just gathering dust anyway, you know. So and then his camera, then he moved completely to Sony, so his 60 is just sitting there gathering dust. So kind of made sense. The two of them are kind of equal value, so...
A good swap.
Yeah, it was a good swap. It kind of benefited both of us. So happy days. Yeah, so that's it for this topic, guys. We're going to take another little quick break now, and we'll be back with a few updates and a VSP.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hainel Industries. Hainel Industries is one of the leading manufacturers of power products for camcorders and digital cameras. Having celebrated over 50 years in business, Hainel have an excellent reputation in research and development and a well-known history of quality products and excellent design.
Welcome back, guys, and now we're on to our next segment, which is the Video Mic Pro, which I have selected this week. Now, it is a bit of a price to pay for the Video Mic Pro. It's €199 that you're going to get it for in most retail stores in Ireland. Now, the Video Mic Pro is an absolute fantastic piece of equipment, especially for vloggers or people who are into video production or anything like that. So it's what it is actually a condenser microphone. And it's something I would use for a lot of the time for the VSPs or anything like that. John, you've actually used this once or twice. What do you think of it?
I thought it was class. I last used that in Whelan's there recently when we were in talking to Adrian Gaynor from Nikon. And I couldn't believe it. I put the earphones in my ears and I could hear the traffic going up and down the road outside. And I remember making face at you kind of going, what the hell, like, you know, it's too noisy here.
Yeah,
but then you explained that you can totally
it blocks it all out. Then
block it out. It was absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually heard
crystal clear audio. Like,
I actually heard. I think it was David's phone getting a text up at the desk.
Yeah,
and he was. I could actually hear him bloody typing back on it. Like, you know, it was so clear.
Yeah,
and then nothing came through afterwards. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I really love using it, and it's nimble. Like, it's not a big massive thing in any way, shape, or form. So it's like it's a nice compact, lightweight housing. Here, let me pull up some specs on it. So it's an absolute high broadcast quality, elastic Ryko suspension prevents the handling and mechanical interference noise. So what that is that if you're moving it around, you know, for vloggers, that it's basically got suspension in it, you know, so it's not going like,
yes, yeah.
Do you hear that? I'm tipping the microphone now, so you're not going to get any of that. It's going to bounce and shake around, so you're not getting those bangs.
Very cool. Very cool. Mike.
With a windshield straight out the box, which is great. It's got a stereo mini jack, 3.5mm, power indicator, rock solid construction, adjustable high pass filter, and that's what I love about it. That's how we blocked out all the exterior noise.
That was amazing.
High pass filter. So let's just say if you're doing a video and you have the washing machine on down the road, or not down the road, in the same house, right?
Yes.
And you can hear it if you're just recording normally. This is going to get rid of all those low frequency noise. Is it high frequency or low? I can't tell. One of them, it's going to get rid of them. So it's great, like, you know, and you can adjust the decibels. Then you can go from 0 to plus 20 or to minus 10, you know. So if we had myself on, and I know I can be loud, you know, my friends keep telling me that I need an inside voice, which is ironic enough because I think I'm actually just speaking normal, but lo and behold, I probably don't. So a minus 10 would suit me down to the ground. So, but if we had Darren, for like, Darren talks very quietly, but you know, he likes to talk a lot. But you'd merely do plus 20 for Darren because he's a very soft voice, you know, he talks very low, but he gets his point across. So for me, that Video Mic Pro was an absolute very useful tool for me for video production from that point of view, you know.
Brilliant.
Yeah, no, so what are your thoughts? What would your thoughts be on the microphone? Like, would you buy it? Like,
yes.
I know it's pricey. It's €199. I get that, but
yeah, no, the answer is yes. If I was in a position that I needed a mic like that for any particular reason, after using yours that time when we were making the vlog there with Adrian, it was fantastic. I would highly recommend it. I was blown away by the footage afterwards. Absolutely blown away.
Yeah,
and as we're creating this podcast here, as I said earlier, my dogs are barking outside, so that mic could actually block them out, could it?
You could be, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, look, come here. Let's call a spade here now. Like, you know, it's going to get rid of a lot of it, but it might not get rid of every single bit of it. But see, the rest of it, then you can get rid of in post if needed.
Okay,
but,
true.
It depends on the situation.
Well, the situation we were in, I was blown away afterwards. Yeah, really, really was.
And like, I know we recorded in Whelan's with that microphone, but ironically enough, that's where I bought the microphone. Oh, you know, so
even better.
Now, I think I paid a bit more for it because I have my microphone about 2 or 3 years now at this stage, and it's one of these items where it has not degraded in quality in any way, shape, or form from the day I bought it. Do you know, like a battery in it will last for, hold on a second, what's it say? Over 70 hours, a 9-volt battery, 70 hours.
Wow.
Do you know?
Can I ask?
So that's a long time.
Can I ask a stupid question then? Is it waterproof?
No, that is a stupid question.
No, because if you're out in the elements or you're recording inside of a pitch or something like that, is what I mean.
All right, okay.
Yeah, so if you're doing an interview after the game and whatever, that which has happened to me a few times.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It is a good question. All right, it wasn't such a stupid question after me saying it. I thought you meant literally just throw it in the water, like, you know.
No, waterproof. As in,
John,
yeah.
I would have no problem. Like, I've often done a few bits and bobs for London GAA. I know this sounded weird. I'll 30 seconds, I'll tell you why I do a bit of work for London GAA. So whenever they come over to Ireland, they play their GAA matches and their challenge matches. If they're playing Limerick in the all-weather pitch in UL, they'd have me come over and I'd video record the game for them from the stands. So they'll use these as a training exercise. So I've often used the my Canon 5D Mark III, and I wouldn't really have a need for recording the audio. So I didn't use the microphone, but I'd be confident with it. Like, Rode are fantastic. Like I use all Rode microphones nearly, except for the Zoom H1. Which is great also, but I use the Rode microphone, lav mics. I have an actual microphone, Rode microphone. Then I have this Rode microphone, Video Mic Pro. So I'm confident in Rode. I have a lot of confidence in them. I think that build quality is second to none. So, but like, they're expensive, and there's a reason why they're expensive, because they're one of the best in the business. Yeah,
you pay for what you get at the end of the day.
Yeah, I agree. So yeah, that's our VSP of the day, guys, and you can get it in any retail store anywhere in Ireland, and particularly in Conn's and Whelan's and Barker's and all that. So €199 is what your retail price is going to be around, give or take a few euros in each shop or whatever. Just before we go, guys, we have just a quick few announcements. So we just want to give a big shout out to ISS Photographic, which today, ironically, are holding a Canon service clinic. So what that entails is they'll have lens cleaning, sensor cleaning, and issue diagnostics. So you can register for them online, I think. So the next event that'll be upcoming, that you can go up to Dublin and get all your stuff looked at, and they're great to work with, you know. And today, ironically enough, they actually have the Canon ESR and the Prophoto B1s to try and test out up there. So that'll be fun to go up there and do that.
Really cool.
Yeah. And also, Irish Light competition has been done, and congratulations to the winner of the Irish Light competition in first place is Conor McKinney. Well done, Connor. We were all shouting for you. Your picture was absolutely fantastic. In second place then was Maxim Loy, who's a very, very talented photographer, landscape photographer. Has more of kind of a sci-fi, but a futuristic world kind of feel to his photographs. I think they're phenomenal. Something great to look at. And in third place then was Johnny Baird. Am I saying that correct, Johnny Baird?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very, very good photographer also. And a big shout out to two of our own from Munster was David O'Hearn and Yarrow from Kerry. They got honourable mentions in their pictures. So,
excellent. That's great
well
news.
Done to the two of them. And to be totally honest with you, I thought David O'Hearn's image was mind-blowing. I absolutely loved it. I absolutely loved it, John. So well done to Peter Gordon and all his team in the Irish Light competition. Unfortunately, we couldn't get up to do a pod from there, but we're working on that for next year. Peter said he'd love to have us up there, so really look forward to working with Peter going forward. You know, a really nice guy. And lastly, DJI are having a bit of a sale on the Mavic Pro Platinum and the Flymore Combo. So you're getting €100 off each of those packages at the moment. So just log on to DJI.com or Barker's Photographic. I don't know if they're actually doing the deal, but I did see a post that they have loads of stock in of the Mavic Pro 2 and the Zoom. So you might get on to them and see if they are doing that sale or not. So DJI.com, and also you have Model Heli Services out in Inch in Ennis, County Clare. Contact them for your drone needs as well. So the advantages of going out to Mark Broderick is you get to test and feel and look at the things before you buy them also. And he's a really, really nice guy. And A1, I think, is probably the best drone retailer in the country. So go talk to Mark, A1 guy. You will not be left down. And not only does he create a good sales service, but he's good aftercare service. And I think that's important. That's the number one. I'm sure you would agree, John.
Great stuff. Yeah, that's all brilliant. And that's super for our listeners to hear all that information. Todd, fair play to you.
Yeah. And it's something that I think we'll do regularly going forward also. All right.
Excellent. Yep, really, really cool.
All right, so we're going to wrap that up, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to talking to you during the week.
That's great, Dermot. I'll catch up with you soon, pal. Talk to you soon. Cheers, bud.
Ew. If you've enjoyed the Irish Photography Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, guys, keep shooting.